أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger alayhi salatu wassalam have taught this ummah to be an ummah of dignity, to refuse injustice, and to correct things that should be corrected. In the Quran, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Dignity is to God and His Messenger and the believers. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, سيد الشهداء حمزة بن عبد المطلب ورجل قام إلى إمام جائر فأمره ونهاه فقتله. The best of all martyrs is Hamza, the Prophet's uncle, who was speared in Uhud, and a man who stood up in the face of a tyrant and ordered him justice and denied his injustice, and so the tyrant killed him. That would be the best of all martyrs. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إذا جاء على أمتي يوم لا تقول فيه للظالم أنت ظالم فقد تودع منهم وبطن الأرض خير لهم من ظهرها. If a day comes when my ummah does not say to the unjust, you are unjust, then it is farewell to them and they better be buried under the ground than walk over it. I say this because today is the 10th of Al-Muharram, and it is the commemoration on one of those martyrs who deserve to be the kin and the parallel and the equal of Hamza and the other martyrs. Today is the commemoration of the martyrdom of Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the story you know, after the Prophet died, Abu Bakr was chosen caliph. After Abu Bakr, Umar. After Umar, Uthman. But then there was a mutiny against Uthman and he was killed. Upon which all the Ummah insisted that Ali ibn Abi Talib would be caliph. He was not aspiring to it, but they told him, if the news go to the corners of the empire that the caliph has been killed without naming the new one, it would be chaotic. And so he accepted to be the Khalifa, and all the people gave him the pledge. But in Syria, there was a ruler, Muawiyah, who refused to give the pledge. And he said, hand it to us, the killers of Uthman, so that we avenge from them. And the Khalifa insisted that this matter was a matter for the state and was a matter for due legal process. Upon which Muawiyah, who was ruler of Syria for 10 years, and he could consolidate his stand there, he was very generous to the people, and so he could gather a large army and come back over Medina in order to defeat Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. At the time, Imam Ali could not retreat because it would be a joke of a state if the Khalifa would yield to such a rebel. And so Ali tried to discuss the matter and debate it and argue it so that no blood would be shed. But alas, the other side was adamant and fighting was inevitable. When the battle started, the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib was the victor. But on the brink of defeat, a cunning man suggested to Muawiyah, and so the soldiers raised the Quran, the Mus'haf, on their spears. And they said, well, let us take it to Kitab Allah, to the Quran, who would settle the matter between us. Of course, with the soldiers raising the Mus'haf, it was impossible for the other army to keep the attack, even though Ali told them it is a trick. But so it was, and they agreed on arbitration. On arbitration, Muawiyah dispatched on his behalf Amr ibn al-As, who was a very intelligent and a cunning man. And the side of Ali ibn Abi Talib proposed Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who was a very pious man, but no match in his cunning to Amr ibn al-As. And then when the arbiters met, Amr ibn al-As put the proposal that the nation is sick of this trouble and the problem between Ali and the Muawiyah. Why not we dispose of both of them and let the Ummah again afresh elect their Khalifa? And he could convince Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to do that. And when it was time to go to the masses to tell them the result, Amr ibn al-As very politely said to Abu Musa, after you are my elder. Upon which Abu Musa stood up and told the masses, I remove my friend as I remove this ring from my finger. And when it was the turn of Amr ibn al-As to do the same, he said, I confirm my friend as I put this ring into my finger. And there was chaos, and there was a fitna, and three people decided to go and kill Ali, Muawiyah, and Amr ibn al-As. At the time, Muawiyah went to the mosque, but the assassin could hit only his back and he was not killed. Amr ibn al-As had a diarrhea and did not go to the mosque at all, so he was spared. And unfortunately, the one who was killed was Ali ibn Abi Talib. After Ali, his eldest son Al-Hasan took over, and the Muawiyah approached him, and Al-Hasan was so far-sighted as well as a peaceful man. He didn't want bloodshed amongst the Muslims. And so he came to an agreement with Muawiyah that as long as Muawiyah lives, he would be the Khalifa. And when Muawiyah dies, Al-Hasan will be the Khalifa. And everybody would be happy. Unfortunately, things happened. Muawiyah could buy the death of Al-Hasan by giving a large bribe to his wife and promising her that he would marry her to his son Yazid. And so Al-Hasan was poisoned over a long time until he died. And then Muawiyah did something unprecedented in Islam. By the gold and the sword, he compelled the people to give the pledge to his son Yazid as crown prince after him. This was a complete novelty in Islam. No wonder the Ummah was not happy, but it is the golden sword and he used to bring the notables from every corner of the country, and his wife would say, the caliph is this, if he dies is this, if you refuse it is this, and raising the sword. All the people were subdued except for the few. And the time went on until Muawiyah himself died. And Yazid, the crown prince, who was not known or famous for piety, declared himself the Khalifa and sent the leaders of his troops to extract the pledge from various people. And whoever wouldn't agree would be beheaded. But only the few disagreed. And Yazid was very keen to get the pledge of Al-Hussein. Of course Al-Hussein wouldn't budge, and he refused to give the pledge. And the people of Iraq invited him to go to them on the assumption they would support him, and told him, we have already 100,000 troops ready to fight for you. And so Al-Hussein took his family, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heading towards Al-Kufa. But unfortunately, Yazid hurriedly sent an army to Al-Kufa that overwhelmed the people, and he extracted the pledge from them. And some of them sent a messenger to meet Al-Hussein to tell him that things have changed in Iraq. And unfortunately that messenger was intercepted and killed. Until the army of Yazid came and found the little troops. Of course Al-Hussein didn't lead an army. He was going to meet an army. But with him, there was hardly any army. Only a few people for the journey. And then the two forces stand face to face. And the army of Yazid lost their water and pledged for water from Al-Hussein, and he allowed them. And then their leader asked Al-Hussein, shall I pray Imam to my troops and you pray Imam to your people? Or shall we all pray behind you as the leader of the prayer? And he said, no, we all pray behind you, Hussein. And they went and prayed behind Hussein as the leader of the prayer. But immediately, instead of separating, their forces surrounded Al-Hussein and his family and the few people with him. And when Al-Hussein and his family finished their water and wanted water, they denied them. And the little son of Al-Hussein would say, "Father, I am dying of thirst." And Al-Hussein telling the people, "Don't give me water, but give it to the children." And they denied that. And then Al-Hussein brought his people and told them, "You are free to leave. Whoever wants to leave, leave." And he could sense the historical implication of the moment, because with his basira he could see forwards. If Al-Hussein withdrew, that would be the end of him. But there are moments to live and there are moments to die fi sabilillah. And Al-Hussein chose to live fi sabilillah and die fi sabilillah. And so he remained with 72 people to face an army of 100,000 people. And the result of the battle was sealed, and Al-Hussein was killed, and one of the enemy cut off his head to take it to the Khalifa in Damascus, probably wanting a large reward for that. And all the men were killed except for a child who was sick and feverish. That was Ali Zain al-Abidin, the son of Al-Hussein. And his aunt Zainab shielded him with her body. And the women of the household of the Prophet ﷺ were driven across the desert, walking bareheaded with their clothes cut, until they went to Yazid. But Zainab, the sister of Al-Hasan al-Hussein, was very bold to Yazid, never feared him, told him, "You are betraying Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Is this what you do to the family of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam?" And they debated the little boy. They wanted to kill him, but she said, "Impossible, you have to kill me first before reaching him." And fortunately he remained, because he is the only continuum of the progeny of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this happened on the place called Karbala, on the 10th day of Muharram, which coincides with today. My dear fellow Muslims, yes, the Ummah has seen lots of injustice and lots of tyrants. What the Ummah should not lose is that sense of faith, which when the time comes would be quite willing to sacrifice life for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At home we are suffering of tyrants. Out of the borders we are suffering of Israel and the colonialism, etc., etc., etc. And maybe the best advice to give the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is the saying of Allah in His Quran, "Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen." Say, "My prayer, my meditation, my living, my dying are all to Allah, the Lord of the worlds." أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. اسألوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت. وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear fellow Muslims, on a previous occasion when the Islamic armies were facing the armies of the Empire of Persia and the Muslim army sent a delegate to Rustam, the Persian leader, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas would tell him, you have to think and to consider, because I am bringing to you people who love death the same way as you love to drink. It is this putting of life in its proper shape and size, so that as long as it is life, in the cause of Allah we live, but when in the cause of Allah we should give it. And we should work upon ourselves to acquire such personalities, because only then the Ummah will get rid of all its enemies inside and outside. And it begins by your own heart, work on it. And it begins by putting the life of God before the life of this world and its pleasure. And by filling your heart with the love of your fellow Muslims, so that in your solidarity you can face any circumstances. We ask Allah to fill our hearts with His love and the love of our fellow Muslims and the love of all humanity, and to make us live and die and live again upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك، وابعثنا على الشهادة أو على نية الشهادة يا رب العالمين، وألهمنا حق لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.